Now, we come tonight to the subject of art and the spiritual life. And I must apologize for the length of this introduction, which has hurried us through the contents, as it were, of two whole lectures. But as I said at the beginning, it is important to get this subject, the subject of art and the spiritual life, very much in perspective and context. But I hope, nevertheless, that as from next week, with people becoming increasingly familiar with this material week by week, I hope that next week we shall be able to plunge, as it were, straight into a subject for the week without too much in the way of recapitulation. Now, as I said at the beginning, by art we mean all the fine arts. We take the term to cover painting, sculpture, poetry, music, architecture, and so on. And by spiritual life, the other half of our title of tonight's lecture, we mean the whole process of the higher evolution. Incidentally, I must confess that I'm not very happy with this word spiritual. And when I was drawing up the list of the titles of these talks, I hesitated very much before putting down this word spiritual and speaking of art and the spiritual life. Because for some people I know, this word spiritual has all sorts of wrong connotations. When one speaks of spiritual life, they start thinking of spirits, and spiritualism, and table rapping, and ghostly messages, and ghostly voices, and shapes and apparitions. So the word spiritual, I couldn't help feeling, is best avoided. It's almost as bad, one might say, as the word religion, which has for many people similar unpleasant connotations. But unfortunately, there are really no generally current equivalents for this word spiritual. I did start thinking that we might start popularizing perhaps the term metabiological, which I've used before. I know it's a bit long, metabiological, but at least it has the merit of covering all the higher manifestations of the human spirit. You see, there's that word again, spirit. Not only art, but also religion and philosophy as well. Now, when we speak of art and the spiritual life, or art and the higher evolution, we are not suggesting that they are really two different things. Not that you've got art and the spiritual life. Art here, spiritual life there, joined merely externally by that little word, and. It's not that art and religion are related in a manner merely external. One might even go so far as to say that art is included in the spiritual life. The art, that the fine arts are just one particular type of aspect or one particular type of manifestation of the higher evolution itself. This does not, of course, mean that one cannot lead the spiritual life, cannot participate in the higher evolution of humanity without being an artist. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that one cannot be an artist without, at the same time, participating in the spiritual life, participating in the higher evolution. To the extent that one is an artist, a true artist, authentically an artist of any kind, to that extent one is participating in the higher evolution of man. Now, this sort of idea, I'm sure, is unfamiliar to most people. They'd regard it perhaps as an unnecessary glorification of the artist, and they might even strongly disagree. We know that most people's evaluation of art and of artists is usually a rather low one. They don't think very highly of them, really. Not in comparison with other really important things, other really important activities. Only too many people tend to rather look down upon the arts and upon the artist, and to think of the artist as occupying himself with rather trivial things, not with a real man's work, as it were. I remember in this connection a little story. It's a story, I believe, as far as I recollect, from the autobiography of Sir Osbert Sitwell, which is a many-volumed work written at great length, great prolixity, but it contains some very good stories, very well told. Perhaps you know that the Sitwells, one of those very, very brilliant families in which everybody seems to be practically a genius. All your brothers and sisters, aunts, cousins, uncles and so on, they're all genius, which must be a wonderful way of growing up. So you had, apparently, Osbert and Sir Chaverell, and of course the famous Edith, all living together when they were young, in his vast old rambling family mansion. And one of them used to live in one wing and another in another wing, about half a mile in between, half a mile of corridors, and there was lots of servants. This was 60 years ago. So the story goes, as related by Osbert Sitwell, that one day, one morning, he wanted to communicate with Sister Edith in her wing. So he called a maidservant, rang the bell, and he gave the maidservant a little note. And he said, "Give this note to my sister. If she isn't busy, but if she's doing something, if she's busy, don't give it to her. Don't disturb her. Just come straight back, bring the note, and tell me." So about 15 minutes later, having traversed all those corridors in both directions, the maidservant returned. And Sir Osbert asked, "Have you delivered the note?" She said, "Oh, yes." "Well, was my sister doing anything then?" "Oh, no, she wasn't doing anything at all. She was just writing." So this is the attitude only too often. If you're writing, or if you're painting, or if you're doing anything else of that sort, you're not doing anything, really. So in view of this sort of popular misunderstanding of the subject, of the arts in general, let's just try to go a little more deeply into this whole subject and try to see in what way or in what sense art is part of the spiritual life, part of the higher evolution of man, and how also the artist is, in fact, himself, the new man. Now, this will involve a consideration of the question of what is art. But we'll put that aside for the moment, and we'll first consider the artist as new man. Consider the artist as sharing the characteristics of the new man.